So thank you. Thank you for coming and welcome. And we're so thrilled to have you here. Homefront is a community for discovering biblical family. And that's what we try to do here each and every week. There's a share time, a teaching time, and then a time for you to talk with the folks at the table. And if you are starting, is that popping a lot back there? Should I kill it? Okay. So we're having some technical difficulties in that. I think one of the senior hires broke the mic because we came in and there was a note, mic is broken. So this is actually paperclip to my shirt. So we're going to see if this works. But if it pops too much, just kill me. Kill it back there if it pops too much. Not me. The mic. Kill the mic. Please, please, please. Thanks. That means I'm just done. But we really are excited for you to be here, and you couldn't have come at a better time because we're about to start off a series. We try to do a series every month. This one's a little bit off because of the holidays, and also the series that we're about to jump into is going to take a little bit longer than normal, so we're going to go about a two-month stretch. But the series is on boundaries. But before I get into that, I just want to say I've missed you guys. Does it feel like it's been a while since we've been together? Yeah, it does. It does. And the reason why I say that is because that means that community is starting. You know, when you notice a void, when the people that you sit around the tables with and 2 weeks go by and you haven't seen them, you're like, oh man, I kind of miss them over Easter. I miss our conversations. I miss our time together. I miss the coffee. I miss whatever you miss about Homefront. It means that you're starting to enjoy and settle into your time here. And I miss you guys, and I wasn't here not only last week for Easter, not here in Homefront, but the week before. And we weren't here because we were away on a little trip, so I figured I'd tell you a little bit about it. We went to New Jersey, so that's the garden spot of America, right? My brother lives in New Jersey, works in New York, and he owns a beach house in New Jersey, which he rents all summer. But in the off season, he lets us go there. So we went to the New Jersey beach at the perfect time of the year in April, and it was cold. It even snowed one night. We had some frost. This is how you keep a two-year-old entertained at the beach. You just keep giving him bags of Cheetos, and he just walks around just scarfing down Cheetos. And they drop in the sand, and he picks them up and just eats them. It's really gross. So this is us. There's a big wall of rocks. It's huge because in between the barrier islands in New Jersey, there's a spot for an inlet for the boats to come in. And so they build these big rock walls. And so we climb in these rocks, and you can just disappear down underneath the rocks. That's my head sticking out. And there's Rebecca and Catherine up on top. And we go in there to find crabs because it's so much fun to find those little crabs in there. We just collect tons of them. We'll literally catch about 100 of them. And then later in the afternoon, we usually fish with them, and you can catch some pretty good fish. But the fish weren't running because the water was too cold. But it was still fun to catch the crabs. So there's a picture of the guys walking along the lighthouse off in the distance. So even though it was cold, we had tons of fun. And then those are the little crabs that we catch. So I don't know if you can see them, but then the kids build sandcastles and let these little crabs crawl in and out of the sandcastles. They made little crab domains, which is so much fun to do when we're at the beach. And then the kids got a hold of the phone and started snapping pictures. So you have one with some fingers in there. And then I asked him to take a picture of me boogie boarding, and they cut off my head. And what's so funny? Yeah, she accidentally cut off my head, but that's okay. We still had a really good time at the beach. So now we're here at Homefront, and we're getting into our next series on boundaries. And I wanted to set the stage for boundaries a little bit for us before we get into it. First off, let's talk about the definition of a boundary. Definition of a boundary. A boundary, as defined by Webster, is a line that marks the limits of an area, otherwise known as a dividing line, a line that marks the limits of an area or a dividing line. But for purposes of Homefront, we're going to look at the second definition. We're going to tweak it a little bit. And we're going to talk about as a boundary as this: a protective limit on an activity. A protective limit on an activity. So when you think about your relationship, when you think about your extended family, if you happen to have children, there's all sorts of limits that we put in place to protect ourselves. We have rules and laws, governing principles within our family, within our home. And these limits are for protection, and they're around activities that we do as a couple or as a family. So for Homefront, we're going to talk about protective limits on activities. So as we're driving back and forth to New Jersey, we're driving along, and I say, hey, Bridge, did you see that fence? And she's like, fence? What fence? It's like that fence back there. Did you see? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, keep driving along. And I'm like, hey, did you see that guardrail? And she's like, what on earth are you talking about? It's like, that guardrail. Didn't you see the one we just passed? And she's like, yeah, so what? I do weird stuff like this all the time to her. And I'm like, that's it. That's what boundaries are all about. Fences and guardrails. So for our time, looking at boundaries, we're going to talk in terms of fences and guardrails. When we create boundaries for our relationship, when we create boundaries, protective limits on activity for our relationship, for our family, for our kids, what we're doing is creating fences or guardrails. So let's talk about these for a few minutes. First off, let's look at fence on the left. A fence. A fence is used to keep things out or to keep things in. Sometimes both. A fence is used to keep things out, keep things in. That's the purpose. The purpose of a guardrail is to keep one safely on course. But there's a difference between a fence and a guardrail. A fence is static. A fence typically has full coverage. So when you build a fence, you just don't build it on one side, unless you have a totally obnoxious neighbor and you're just blocking one side of the yard. But typically a fence will go all the way around. It'll complete the loop. So it has full coverage. But there's a danger in fences, though. Fences can be kind of tempting, aren't they? When you build a fence, it's static. There's no movement involved. So the danger is people wonder what's inside of there. Or if you put yourself on the inside to keep you from going out, you're like, I wonder what's out there. Maybe there's something better for me on the outside of the fence because the grass is always greener on the other side. So there's a danger in fences. Guardrails, on the other hand, keep people safely on course. A guardrail implies movement. You don't just have a guardrail around your yard. You have a fence around your yard. But we have guardrails on the road because it implies there's some sort of movement. Someone is going from here to there, and they're going to travel somewhere. And a guardrail typically only covers up that which is dangerous. If you look at this one, sorry, I don't have my laser pointer, but this guardrail that weaves around, it stops there for a little while when the danger of this cliff off to the right stops, and then it starts up again on that other bend. It's not continuous, it's not a full loop, not a full circle, it doesn't have complete coverage, but it implies your movement, and things are going fast, and you just see the guardrail as you're passing by. But there's a danger because the guardrail doesn't cover everything. The guardrail implies that you're going to have some freedom. The guardrail also isn't 10 feet high with barbed wire on top. The guardrail is like, that's not a good idea. But it's as you're passing by. But it's not this huge imposing structure that totally keeps you out. It just keeps you safely on course. As I was thinking about this in the context of the scripture, fences are a lot like the law, for those of you guys that are familiar. The law refers to the list in the Old Testament of the do's and don'ts that God passed down to his people. It's a lot like the law. Don't do this. Keep out of here. Don't go into there. Don't touch that. Stay away. Do this. Stay away from that. There's a lot of do's and don'ts. Guardrails are more like wisdom. Guardrails are more like the Proverbs. Think about this before you do it. It's interesting, and I can't remember if I shared this with you guys or not. One of my favorite books in the Bible is the book of Proverbs. And you know, the book of Proverbs, which is just a collection of wisdom principles, and if you read it, it's actually sometimes kind of hard to read because it just jumps around. So it feeds into my ADD because it's just like talking about this topic and it jumps over here and jumps back and it goes all over the place. Interestingly enough, the book of Proverbs almost didn't make it into the canon. Did I ever share that with you guys before? I can't remember if I did or not. Proverbs was one of the last books accepted into the canon when they got together to decide what would make up the Bible because there's contradictions in it, or so one might think. For example, in Proverbs it says, do not spend time with a fool, a foolish person, a sinner, someone that is caught up in their sin. Don't spend time with that person. But then elsewhere in Proverbs it says, spend time with the fool. So people looked at that and said, that's a contradiction. Do I spend time with a fool? Do I not spend time with a fool? Practical example for us today. If I have a friend that has a little trouble with the bottle, likes to tip the bottle back a little too much, you know, maybe an alcoholic, maybe not, but that's kind of their vice. One proverb would say, don't spend time with that person. The other proverb would say, spend time with that person, because it takes wisdom, the skill for living, to decide when it's the right time to do which. Because if we never spend time with the fool, guess what? Homefront, Reston Bible Church would stay the same exact size, and so would every church in the country, in the world. Because we're called to go out and spend time with people that are in sin. But it takes wisdom to decide when. It takes wisdom driving along the road, one might say common sense, to say, probably shouldn't turn off here. Shouldn't pull a sharp 90-degree turn right here at this point in the road. It's a bad move. But as you're driving along elsewhere, you don't need that guardrail to keep you in place. Law and wisdom, fences and guardrails. But it's fascinating to me that it's not one or the other. And in fact, God doesn't give us one or the other. He gives us a little bit of both, because there's a time and a place for both fences and for guardrails. There's a time and a place for fences and guardrails on the road. There's a time and a place, as the Lord will illustrate to us in the scriptures, of fences and guardrails. And folks, there's a time in your relationship in specific areas. Sometimes it's for a fence, and sometimes it's for a guardrail. And sometimes it even changes. I'll give you an example. For those of you that raise kids, you start off with a lot of fences, right? I mean, moms, help me out here. First 3 years, dads, help me out here. Don't, stop, no, no, stop, don't touch that, stop it right now. It's all of that, right? It's like nonstop. You're just fences all over the place. Don't touch the stove, don't touch the knives, don't punch her, don't kick her. There's fences all over, building fences. But as children get older, we should, and this is a parenting topic we're not going to get into today, but we should start to move from fences into guardrails. We're like, that's not the wise decision to make. That's not the wise thing to do. But you start to give your children freedom as they get older, because you're raising them up in the way they should go. And with maturity, hopefully, will come wisdom and the ability to make wise decisions. So as a parent, you can kind of morph from fences into guardrails. The Lord does the same thing. He gives us lots of fences, but he also gives us lots of guardrails. Think about his chosen people, the Israelites. When he frees them out of Egypt, he takes them into the wilderness, and then he takes them into the promised land, and he says, don't start taking wives of the people that are in this land. Don't start mixing with the people in that land. That's a guardrail. A fence would have been, okay, we're going to kill everybody in this land. Then you won't have a choice. You won't see any wives that you want to be with. We're just going to clear it out. He's God. He could do that. But he says, no, you're going to enter into this land, and there are going to be other people around you. But a guardrail is, don't take a wife from that tribe. Don't take a wife from that group of people over there, because that's bad. It's a guardrail. We see this over and over again. So that's the context. That's the whole series we're going to do. That there should be protective limits on activities within your relationship, within your family. And we're going to talk about one of them today. But just to keep you coming back, just to give you some food for thought, these are the topics we're going to get into over the next 6 or so weeks. Boundaries around time. And these are not in order, by the way, so you have to come to see what we're covering this next week. Time. Relationships with friends. Relationships with the opposite sex. Addiction, including pornography. And what it looks like to have media with content that's appropriate and inappropriate. Technology, aside from just the pornography piece, but technology. Phones, iPads, what kind of limits do we have? Limits with in-laws. See, everybody wants to be here for the in-laws one, so I don't tell you what week that is, because then you just have to come back every week. So those are the types of healthy boundaries that we can put in place to protect our relationship. But today we're just going to talk about one. And hopefully it's a pretty quick one and a pretty straightforward one, but one nonetheless that I don't want to ignore, because frankly, it's one of the reasons why our church created Homefront. Have you ever wondered whether or not God's okay with all this divorce stuff? I mean, we see it all around us. I look out and I have friends and neighbors, separation, divorce. She's not making me happy. He's not making me happy. I'm going to check out. It's all around us. You don't have to look far to see the statistics. Some would say 50%. I think that's a little bit high. But even that we're getting that close to 50%, of marriages ending in divorce is really scary. So then I sit back and I say, well, how bad really is divorce? I mean, you want to find that person that's just the right fit, right? You want to find the person that completes me. You want to find that person that will make all of my dreams come true. So if I was sold a bill of goods, and now 2 years later, things aren't that great, why don't I just check out? Because why not? Everybody else is doing it, right? Let me just give someone else a try. Because marriage is just temporal, right? Marriage is just optional. Marriage is just, it's just for me. So why can't I go where it'll make me happy? So I don't know if you guys have ever wondered that, because then I think, boy, I wonder what God says about all of this. You know, is it really that big of a deal to be divorced? And in fact, the scriptures allow for it, right? I mean, the scriptures talk about divorce and talk about the reasons why you can get divorced, the justifications for divorce. So if God talks about it, he must allow for it. So then what's the big deal? I don't know, maybe it's just me that wonders that. Well, at Homefront, we want you to think properly about marriage and about divorce. And by the way, folks, if any of you are here today and you're in your second or your third marriage, or you look out in your family and your parents are divorced, this is not, when I get to the point of the message, you'll see this is not by any stretch of the imagination a judgment, because divorce, as I view it, divorce is like any other sin. I know I have sin in my life, so who am I to say that particular sin is worse than my sin? So I just lay the context right here. So I don't want you like gritting your teeth and sit there white knuckled while I'm talking until the end. So I stole my own thunder a little bit. But a sin is a sin. But let's look at it, because we wonder it. The people around us wonder it. Our community wonders it. Our neighbors wonder it. So let's look at what God has to say about divorce to us. Fortunately, we aren't alone. Because even during Jesus' time, people were wondering the same thing. They were wondering, is it lawful to divorce? In fact, a Pharisee, one that was an expert in the law, so he knew that in Deuteronomy 26-ish, that Moses was told that it was okay to divorce for particular reasons. So the Pharisee came up to him, Jesus, and tested him. The Pharisees were always trying to trap Jesus because they always wanted to prove that he wasn't who he was. And he tried to test him, and he asked, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? Now, by the way, if any of you want to continue this conversation with me, I would love to continue the conversation. I'd love to continue this after. I'm going to skip over a few things. But the reason why it's important, why it says any cause, because this was a huge debate during Jesus' time, what that word any cause meant. There were multiple groups that were kind of vying for position. One was saying any cause was literally any cause, like she cooked a bad dinner, ditch her. Others were saying any cause was anything sexually immoral, and they were focusing in on that area, the more conservative group. So any cause was a huge topic for debate, and I'd love to talk to you about that further if you have questions. But just know that this was tense, because people were wondering, is divorce lawful? And Jesus answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife. He's quoting here from Genesis. And the two shall become one flesh. So Jesus goes all the way back to the beginning to a verse that we've looked at together where marriage is established in Genesis. And he says, so they are no longer two but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. Okay, Jesus, Pharisees thinking there. You say let no man separate, so you mean there's no divorce. But wait a second, then why did you allow for divorce in the Old Testament? There's a contradiction here. This doesn't make sense. So can we divorce or can't we divorce? Because Moses said we could, one of the patriarchs of our faith, but now you're saying no divorce. So what is it? They said to him, why did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away then? Jesus said, because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. From the beginning, it was not so. God created marriage to be between one man and one woman in unity, in covenant, together forever. If you've ever sat down with the couple that's been together and celebrated their 50th, 60th wedding anniversary, it's awesome. It is beautiful. I get choked up when I think about it because it's the most incredible thing that you could see when a couple has been together that long, particularly a couple that has been following the Lord and honoring Him in their relationship. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I just pray that I'm one of them someday, that the Lord would bless me with that, that she'd put up with me that long, to make it that long. But God created marriage with the intent that it would be permanent. Now, I'm not going to go on because this verse does talk about the exception clause. And folks, if you're in a relationship, you know someone that's in a relationship that is abusive or where there's been adultery, the exceptions that the Bible mentions, yes, we are allowed to get divorced. We are permitted to do it. But it's because of the sin of us. But just the divorce that comes from just don't feel like being with him anymore, just kind of tired of her, wish she would do this, wish he would do that, that was not how God created marriage in the first place. That was not his intent. And because of the hardness of heart, that's our hardness of heart, that's my hardness of heart. When I have a bad week, bad month, there are times when it doesn't feel great to be with Bridget. She's out here somewhere. There she is. I know it's a shocker. And there are times when, I mean, she has a month, she got the short end of the stick here. I mean, this, it's hard to be with Jason. And sometimes it's not all peaches and cream. It's not great. And it's easy to think, well, maybe there's another option. Maybe I can just, you know, like they do, we see it all the time in the media around us and television shows and movies. We just say cut, right? And then it ends. And then we can start over in our next sitcom over here. But the carnage that comes from that is immense because it's not the way that God intended it to be. So again, if this is sensitive for any of you, I know I'm glossing over a very difficult topic. I would love to talk to you about it. I'd love to pray with you about it. But what my ask is of you this morning is this. Bridget and I decided early on our relationship that we would have a fence. Our fence is around divorce. It's not an option. We don't consider an option. You dictate in your house, if you have little ones, what words are acceptable. So obviously, there's some big curse words that are unacceptable within the home. But you could even block out the word hate. You could even block out the word sucks. Not necessarily a curse word, but, you know, kind of unacceptable in some circles. You can block out those words. We block out the word divorce. We'll talk about a divorced couple, but Bridget and I will never, ever say, I'm thinking about divorce. Wouldn't it be easier if we were just divorced? What do you think about separating for a while? We don't talk about it because when you talk about it, it enters in and then all of a sudden it becomes an option. And for many of you here, it's not an option. And I'm just preaching to the choir and that's great. But for some of you here, that word has seeped in and it actually is considered a viable option. If things don't work out, we have a couple that we know that literally the weekend they got married, they opened an account and they started saving. Every month, the man puts money into this account in case the day comes along that they get separated so she has money. They have planned from the day they got married if something would happen. That is a sad, sad state of affairs. You're just opening the door and saying, this is an option in case I'm not happy, in case things don't work out. This is an option. For Bridget and I, we just decided to ditch the D word. Just ditch the D word. Take it out of our vocabulary. Just not even talk about it. And that's my prayer for you, and that's what Homefront is all about. Building into your relationships with one another so that you realize that it's not an option. Yeah, is it an option if you're in one of those extreme cases I just mentioned? Absolutely. Come talk to me about it, please. Let us walk you through that. But it should not be an option in everyday life. When he forgets to pay the bills, when she forgets to put your socks away. Seriously, some of these nitpicky little things, and even some bigger things. It's not an option. I would encourage you to ditch the D word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being so clear about what you think about divorce. Lord, you didn't create a man and a woman to come together, to have the option to separate. But Lord, you did give it to your people, and we have it today because of our hardness of heart. Because it's so easy for me, Lord, to get hardened with the deceitfulness of sin and think that there would be another option, to leave my kids behind, to leave my wife behind, that I could be happier somewhere else. Lord, that's the hardness in my heart. And Father, we all feel that sometimes. Father, will you help us to put a fence around this today? Put a fence around it that says this is not an option for us. We're not even going to talk about it. We're not going to mention it. It's not going to come up in casual conversation. I'm not going to pull it out as a card during an argument. No, Lord, we're going to put a fence around it today that says divorce is not an option. And Father, we do that because we want to honor you and because you created marriage. And Father, for the times that we have done that, for the times that we've turned away from you and dishonored you in that, that's why you died on the cross. Because you knew we would sin, that we are going to sin, that we will sin in the future. So Lord, forgive us for those times. Thank you for the blood of Christ that covers that sin. And Lord, may we honor you as we move forward. We pray these things in Christ's matchless name. Amen. A few questions for you to discuss at your table. First off, describe in your own words the difference between what I shared with you at the beginning, a fence and a guardrail. Can you think of an example of a fence and a guardrail in the scriptures? There's many of them. I purposely didn't dump a bunch of them on you because I wanted you to be able to share some with your table. Name some fences and guardrails that you might have in your relationship right now. And folks, learn from one another. Write them down. If you hear something good from the people at your table, write them down. And then decide, do you, will you allow the D word in your marriage? Go at it.